ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We like to think that we've come a long way from the days when children should be seen and not heard. But it seems that even when teens do all the things we want them to do, say all the things we want them to do and do them, like getting outside and making new friends and being active, they still can't do it right. BMX riders, for example, you've probably seen dirt jumps popping up in parks or empty lots built by the riders themselves for the riders. It's creative, it's social, it's physical, but it's also what gets them into trouble as councils across the country crack down on these DIY tracks. Well, new research shows that it's this activity that takes place outside of organised sport that can be really beneficial. So if we're pushing teens off their screens, don't we owe them real-world spaces where they can actually build something together? With me is Dr. Dave Camilleri, who's a senior lecturer in education at the University of Melbourne and is researching BMX communities and is an avid rider himself. David, what's the coolest trick you can do on a bike?
Look, it depends on who you speak to, but I would say probably a turndown. For anyone who doesn't know what that is in BMX, it's probably not that interesting, but anyone who knows that that's a sort of a core trick. And in BMX, they're almost like jazz standards where there's particular tricks that if you can do them, people who know sort of know like that's a significant movement, because essentially it's just sort of, you know, putting your body in a certain way, isn't it? And so it takes meaning from the community. But I guess, yeah, for me, a turndown is, it's a beautiful trick, and Google it if you don't know. But yeah, it's probably my favourite.
What I'm hearing is that you're a cool dude. Well, how is something like BMX riding different to like an organised sport like soccer or basketball?
Yeah, well, BMX is quite a broad sport. You know, you've got racing and freestyle, but freestyle tends to be more self-directed, creative and play-based, where riders set their own goals, they, you know, find their own riding spots, and you can almost think of it as a sort of unstructured, almost group of circus performers, more than a sort of coach squad who do fixed drills, have uniforms and athletes. But that said, sometimes some crews do make their own sort of uniforms, or they've got their own designs and stuff that they wear to identify as that sort of riding crew and stuff, and that can sometimes even lead into being a bigger brand and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, they ride at their own time. It's really quite different. But in BMX, there's also that more athletic side with the racing, and you know, that sort of, that you could almost differentiate between being an action sport with athletes and lifestyle sports with people who just sort of participate and ride.
What I'm hearing from you is teamwork, creativity, mm-hmm. and physical activity, like all big ticks in terms of the sort of skills and benefits that teen riders get out of the sport.
Yeah, well, my PhD looked at creativity in disengaged high school students, and what I found is a lot of them like to share their creativity outside of the classroom because they didn't feel like it would be valued in the classroom. And so that made me think about, you know, my own experiences as a BMXer, but also as a, I guess, early school leaver, and, you know, someone who didn't finish school and didn't feel like school was giving me what I needed. And, you know, I was riding and digging at the time, and, you know, Over a lifetime, I feel like it has given me a lot. But also then, as our research has shown, like there's evidence to show that, you know, the people who dig their own jumps have a strong sense of agency. You know, there's risk assessment, you know, persistence, teamwork. You know, you've got to maintain a space, and you've got to hide that space. You've got to protect it, you know, not just from other people, but also from the weather. There's a whole bunch of other skills that come along with it, and around you know, the peer connection that forms with that, because you've got this sort of sense of camaraderie. You're building something together, but then you're also having fun with it. And you know, the digging is one part, but then there's also the riding. And what we found is, especially for riders aged between 15 and 23, BMX was a real strong source of meaning for them in their life. And, you know, it's for many of us, it's something we sort of wake up, you know, every day and look forward to going to the jumps. You know, on the weekend, I try to go down every week to our jumps, but, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. But, you know, sometimes we dig more than we ride, and sometimes it's easier to dig because you're on your own and you can just dig, but you can't necessarily ride on your own, especially at our spot, because you've got to take tarps off and prepare things. So you really need other people and to coordinate that. But it's a very organic process, and especially, you know, thinking about young people, it's so what's the word? It's so fluid and changing, and that's just in such a contrast to, I guess, how councils want things to be organised and how institutions expect things to be.
Yeah, there's a real tension there between what you're describing as being a really, sounds really beautiful, community, creativity, hard work, but then a council goes, hang on, we didn't approve this, and they come in and demolish it. Like, what's that like?
Oh, it's pretty heartbreaking from personal experience. It is. It's quite heartbreaking, and you know, there's quite a fragility to that sort of care and the love. You know, knowing that the thing that you're putting so much work into could actually disappear. You know, the next time you sort of get there, and I'm really lucky. You know, we dig on private property now, but there's a lot of spots, and some of the best spots in the world are on. Unauthorised land, and not just council land. Like, riders also sometimes seek out non-council land, and they might find land that's the railway, or you know, there's a big. Riders don't want to cause unnecessary damage, and the reason why riders often will go out, especially young kids, they look for places where they can't be found because they don't want their jumps to be demolished. And you know, this can unfortunately mean they end up in ecologically sensitive habitats or Aboriginal cultural sites. And you know, we don't advocate for young people going and digging in any of these places that are inappropriate. We want to see special places, habitat, special ecologies protected. You know, I love nature. I'm an avid bird watcher. Anyone who knows me knows I'll be at trails and be like, what's that bird? You know, it's a black-faced cuckoo shrike, or it's a white-throated tree creeper. You know, I love birds, so I want that also to be protected. But what we're finding is this is a strategy of maintenance where kids go and hide their jumps, hide the place that they're investing their care, their time, and they're trying to form a community because they don't want it to be found.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National, talking to Dr. David Camilleri about the benefits, the many benefits of a BMX riding for young people. Barbara says, I live in rural New South Wales and the house over the road was burnt down some time ago. It's now a vacant block. Every night after school, the kids are in there playing football, not hiding away at home on their devices. It's a joy to listen to them having fun and reminds me of my own youth 70 years ago. Eve says, not to mention the real-life physics lessons they're absorbing. Well, also with me is Julie Richley, a Brisbane mum who spearheaded a local protest to protect DIY BMX jumps in her neighbourhood. Julie, how'd the campaign come about?
Well, as so many of these things start, it began with some Facebook complaints that there were some children in a local park who were making bike jumps. And sounds like what Dr. Camilleri is talking about is quite professional. These are primary school students, and the biggest jump was, no more than 40 centimeters. But the council demolished it and put up a really aggressive sign saying that it was a hazard to wildlife and it was illegal. And the young people responded by putting a sign next to the council sign saying, why did you do this? Trying to engage in a dialogue. And there was no response. So a number of us in the community took it upon ourselves to sort of create that response where we didn't see it. We put a sign on top of the kids' sign that said, top secret, kids only. You have activated the Balimba branch of the Play Army as part of, we've been summoned into duty according to the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, Article 21, and meet us here on Saturday. Bring your friends, bring your bikes. And there are so many people turned out, not just kids, but grown-ups as well. We had lots of signs available where people could reflect on what made play important to their communities, what made young people's participation in community better, stronger. And we really just wanted to show these young people that they had a voice, that they had so many grown-ups in their community who may not be as loud as the whiny ones who went to council. Sorry, some of my opinion coming through there. But that they had so many people who were ready to stand up for them and ready to protect their creativity and protect their leisure time. And the thing that surprised me the most was the number of neighbors who did not have children at all, but who said, we wanted to come out and just say how much we love hearing kids play here. We love being part of this community. I live right next to the park. And this is one of my favorite parts about where I live.
So you were surprised by the response?
I was was really surprised that it wasn't just the people who were directly affected. I think it's really easy, you know, as a parent, as an adult in the community, we're really comfortable with young people in the educational sphere and in the domestic sphere. And we don't see them in the social, cultural, political sphere. So it's easy, I think, sometimes for those of us who are former children to remember
all
that
of us are former children.
That we, except for the current children, that we are part of community right now. We're not gonna be in the community someday when we grow up. We're in it right now, as much as adults might try to sort of keep kids out of it. And so I think being able for me to see what I feel in my heart, but don't always see every day, which is the radiating benefits of having young people existing joyfully in a public space, isn't just good for those kids and their well-being, although it is. It isn't just good for those families and their well-being, but it's good for the broader community, even people who don't have children of their own, who aren't directly impacted by these activities.
Julie, Dave, thank you both so much for joining me today. Julie Richley is a Brisbane mum who spearheaded a local protest to protect a DIY BMX area in her neighbourhood. And Dr. Dave Camilleri is a senior lecturer in education at the University of Melbourne. He's researching BMX communities and is a rider himself.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.